Hello, Stripper Whispers. This is Corey Michaelis with my stand-up comedy tour dates. If you don't want to hear them, fast forward 30 seconds twice and then rewind 15 seconds. Next week, January 18th through the 21st, I'll be in Southern California. February 2nd through 4th, I'll be in Central Oregon. February 16th through 19th, I will be in Texas with my best bud, Andrew Rivers. March 6th through 12th, I'll be in Las Vegas. We must have some listeners there. March 16th through 18th, I'll be in Gilbert, Arizona. Come see me live at a show and enjoy the first episode of season 3.
There we go. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where I get behind the G-string and interview strippers about their lives outside the clubs, what it's like working in the clubs, and how we can all be better customers in their space. Today we are virtual with Nikki from Tahoe, but also Bend. We'll talk about it. Say hi, Nikki.
Hi.
All right, welcome. We're here, and the episodes are super interesting, all by their lonesome just to listen to. But if you'd like to put a face to the voice, check out Nikki on Instagram at SheIsTattooed. She is tattooed. If you can't spell tattooed, you'll figure it out. And also over on our Patreon page, we're on Patreon. You can join us there and you'll get extra content like the video of this episode. I didn't ask permission for that. Consent is important, but we'll talk about it later.
We'll consent later.
You know, shouldn't consent afterwards. That's kind of bad, right?
Probably not. Maybe like mid-consent. Yes.
Check-ins.
Yes.
Frequent check-ins are hot, I hear. So that's, I don't know. I mean, it's been a while for me, so I wouldn't know. But we do it on Zoom now. One, because we can't be in the same room typically. And right now, we couldn't even if we lived in the same city, it might be difficult because you got a snowstorm and I got a snowstorm here in Seattle.
Yep.
People don't understand Reno and Tahoe. Right? Like they think it's just like sunny all of Nevada. People think sunny all year long or whatever.
Sure, yeah. So I'm on the California side, and it's really interesting because it's a little city that kind of sprouted up in the 70s, and it was very much built for, I don't know, 5,000 people, and maybe 40,000 flock here during the holidays.
So
that coupled with snowstorms, it's insane.
Is it significantly more populated in the winter than the summer? Or
no,
just
it goes both ways because the lake's really beautiful. So people,
right.
the joke is always you come for the winter and you stay for the summer, you know, and that's like how it goes. And then once the time that summer's going by, you're like, well, I'm here, so I might as well just stay for the winter.
Okay.
And that's like the merry-go-round, I guess you'd say.
Got it. Well, we do most of the interviews virtually now, or at least I do, because it's a little awkward to just randomly be like, hey, I got this podcast in my hotel room. Because strippers are like, oh,
me.
Sure
you
do. I've heard that a few times. So, but it's still mildly awkward. I barely know you, don't even know you really. And so I need a little liquid courage. So I take a shot of Tito's. It appears Tito's is our sponsor because I'm wearing
Tito's. Yeah, I was going to say, they're definitely like, hey, well, you need to put this on when you're taking the shot.
Yeah. Actually, I should not even say it. They need to become a sponsor.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you talking about? I mean, you need to reach out to them and say, hey, I did a shot and I was wearing your fucking beanie.
Yes, on a podcast that 14 people listen to. So
fuck you.
That's a lot of money for you guys, I'm pretty sure. But I'll take this and we'll get moving.
I'm unprepared, but I will have to join next time.
We'll have you on again. And in fact, we'll talk about that. There might be something in the cooking here. So, but I'm ready always.
No chaser? You're going baby bottle?
I have water. I have this new water bottle. Look at this thing. And it has the little spout, and the spout has the flavor in it.
There you go.
And then you can turn it to 1 to 10 on the, how much,
on how diluted you want your cherry flavor.
I can't drink water unless there's flavor, and I don't want sugar in my liquids.
But you don't partake in the electrolytes. So you're not onto the liquid IV kick. I feel like.
Yeah, but that has sugar in it. I love that stuff.
I know it
sugar,
does.
Full of sugar.
The entire packet. You might as well just put a Kool-Aid pack in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like when people, See, I don't drink coffee. I've never had a cup. They're trying to kick my ass out of Seattle. They're like, you don't belong here.
I was going to say, listen, Charlotte loves that town.
Yeah, people are like, how do you wake up in the morning? Well, sad and erect. But but people are like, well, why don't you, what about like vanilla, like hazelnut? That's what I said. It's hilarious you said that. I say that all the time. I go, well, at that point, why don't I just have a milkshake?
Yeah, do you know I have a blender at home? Well,
that I love. Yeah. I love milkshakes. I don't like the taste of coffee.
Okay, all right.
So, I mean, like, why would I? But I don't want to wake up. I don't want to start my day with, if I'm hungover, probably a little bit of liquid IV with sugar. I do it all the time when I'm hungover.
So it's Tito's and liquid IV instead.
Yeah, so I try to stay every morning. Why not?
And go straight white Russian and tell yourself that it's a coffee. Not. Yeah, that's it. That'd be heated up.
That I could do, probably. I love Bailey's. And so anytime I go out and people are like, you know, I want Bailey or a hot drink with Bailey's, and they're like, Bailey's coffee. And I'm like, do you have hot chocolate?
Yeah, exactly. Can you give me a little marshmallows on top? Do you have the
mini your ones? Kid? Are you giving this to your child? Yeah, no, exactly. You cannot have Bailey's hot chocolate for your child. But anyway, cheers.
Cheers. I'll go in with you. Okay. He takes it like a champ. Oof. Professional. Oh my God, you swished it in your mouth.
Well, I got it. You can't savor it. You're too young to know this, but the TV show Cheers, you're too young.
It is like one generation behind me.
I think you're right. You're Frasier. Maybe you're Frasier.
Yeah,
maybe.
No, you know what I grew up watching? Simpsons. Like, okay, religiously. Like, old school Simpsons, though.
All right, that I can handle.
Yeah, you know, some quality family time. And then they started coming, you know, then Family Guy came.
The Family Guy, yeah, funny. There you go.
And then American Dad, and then it just kind of trickled into fucking who knows what now.
Well, Cheers has this iconic character named Norm, and he would sit at the end of the bar and just drink and drink and drink. And one of my most memorable episodes was... he was like a beer drinker. He just pound beers all day long and never get drunk. And he walked in and they would go, Norm! And it was the whole thing, right?
Time.
Well, there's one episode where he goes to the brewery and he visits a brewery and they're giving him their taste testing. Okay. And they go, all right, Norm, so here's a, you know, just a little bit. And he's like looking at it like, I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Right. And they go, so, you know, just take a drink of that. And just savor it in your mouth for a minute. Just hold it in your mouth for a minute.
Okay.
And then swallow it and tell us what you think. And he kind of looks, and then he does it, and he goes, holy hell. Do people know about this? Keeping it in your mouth thing?
Yeah, you don't just gargle it down.
He's like, I just guzzle. Like, I've never, oh my God, this is going to change my life. That he like actually savored it. It's hilarious.
Do you watch HBO?
I have it, and yes.
Okay.
Short answer, yes.
Funny show. Have you seen it? How To with John Wilson. It's like this dude, and he's a film all, like a video guy in New York City.
Yeah, he just walks the streets.
Yeah, it's super funny. He did an episode just recently, and it was like making fun of wine people, you know, but because he can't get behind it. He's like, I don't get it. And then he like ends up at this like Bang party, the guy that created Bang, and it was
hilarious. Bang energy drink.
Yeah, and it was just hilarious because he was like, I can get behind this razzle dazzle because it has flavor, you know? Like,
yes,
who knows what they're tasting when they're drinking wine.
I've been to a few Bang parties that had razzle dazzle, but that's not true, actually. I haven't.
Yeah, that guy looks like he gets around.
I've heard great things about it, and I think I watched an episode and a half, and I need to get back to it. I just finished Succession, which is amazing and yeah, dark and funny, but dark and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Good humor.
Well, hey, let's
talk about
introduce
it.
You to people. We kind of did, Nikki, yes. From Tahoe, but. We met somewhere else. You say your version, and then I'll...
I distinctly remember you, and it's only because there's like weird things that I pick up on in the club, and I remember having a conversation with you. And not to say that I haven't had conversations with other people, but I remember the table that we were sitting at, and you kind of had your back turned to the stage, I don't think in like a rude way, you know, because you. you and your friend were sitting across from each other and I was sitting in between you. And I remember you started talking to me and you were like, listen, I've got this podcast. And I was like, sure, buddy. Like, I'm sure you do.
Of course.
You know? And so we didn't really talk there much past that. It was in the summertime that you were there and it was super busy. It gets really busy there in the summer. And I was like, okay, buddy, well, if you're talking about a podcast, I'll get back to you later.
Yeah.
And then I started being like more active on my social media, and a girl that I know followed your comedy page. And I was looking at you and I was like, where the fuck do I know this guy from? Like, I know him from somewhere. His face looks familiar. And then I saw the podcast link to it, and I was like, holy shit, this dude actually has a podcast.
That's real. That's I'm full of shit. Yeah, that okay, that's
like
fine.
That wasn't like an introductory, you know, like you meet guys in the club.
Oh, yeah.
And I make a joke about it because I know people, like, they want to believe everything that people tell them, but I'm like, listen, the moment that a guy comes in the club, he can be whoever the fuck he wants to be. Like, you could be Bob from Barbados has yachts and, you know, so.
So podcast is pretty low flex. Well, if all that things.
Sure.
I have a podcast, I have a YouTube channel like every 7-year-old boy in America.
I actually have 25 followers. Like,
not trying to brag.
Yes.
Funny. So that must have 2 years ago.
No, I think
April 2019.
Oh man, I don't even know. God, I'm not sure.
I mean, with the pandemic, it's so hard to even like.
No, I think it was over this summer. I think it was there was a point in time when they lifted all the restrictions in Oregon, and it was like no masks, no anything, and I think it was like. Fuck, June, maybe?
Maybe. I'm just looking at my calendar going, I don't know that I went to Bend in that time, you know. Anyway, I'm up in Seattle. So my version is I don't specifically recall that. I'm surprised. I'm a little surprised that I don't, but I won't say why.
You meet a lot of women.
Well, more along the lines of like, all right. So if curvy tattoo brunette's kind of like my thing. So I'm a little surprised that I don't specifically
you have
recall.
A taste.
I have a specific. Yeah, it's very. You check my porn history and my past girlfriends, and it all matches up.
Category. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then, but for me, like we were driving down from. Let's see. What order do we do the shows in? We went Portland, Eugene, and then Bend. And we were headed to Bend, and I was like, and we were selling tickets pretty well. We were pretty excited, me and my buddy Andrew Rivers. And I go, oh, you know, I should probably see, because I know Stars is in Bend.
Yeah.
And he and I had been there before. It's probably who I was with when I met you.
I'm sure.
Might have been another guy who I've been to Bend with and done shows, but so I was like, oh, I maybe already am connected with some folks. And Instagram makes it difficult. You can't use the search bar to search past conversations.
No.
You can only search handles, really, right. Basically. And right. So you gotta kind of go, well, and you can't location. And
Yeah.
So it makes it hard for us when we're trying to promote shows because I – literally got to go like I did, like go, ah, shit. So I go to the Stars page and then I go see who they follow and see if it's mutual with anybody. I, you know what I mean? Like I have to go all the
instant. Yeah.
And then,
world. It's like oddly very effective yet like still super weird. Cause it's like, you're like, okay, well let me go onto this page. And then now I'm four pages in and oh, who's this person that they wait, I saw this person at the gas station, I'm gonna follow
up. Well then algorithm why so face, yeah, it's so interesting because Facebook is like you can literally has a function called nearby friends that a lot of people don't know about, and a lot of people don't know that theirs is turned on Facebook, where you can go to click nearby friends and it'll tell you literally who is near you
nearby.
Like, literally will tell you the location they're at.
That's terrifying.
If they've posted about it or, but you can screw, you can, and you can zoom and you can like, oh, they're at the 20, and it'll say how long ago they were there. So it's 23 minutes ago.
Facebook like that.
Yeah, so Facebook's like that. And okay. Instagram, owned by Facebook or Meta or World Peace,
sure, whatever,
or whatever,
whatever
the
you
fuck.
Want to call it.
Is
yeah, the infinity signal. Like,
yeah. All right, okay. But they probably did need to rebrand because it's a punchline, you know, Facebook or whatever. So they're like, it's harder, way harder, but very effective app. TikTok is like so easy to follow people.
That's
like
so funny.
They make
TikTok
it
is, TikTok
they
is
make
the
it,
only one that I do not get, and I'm like, okay, that's a generation behind me. Like, I've skipped that one. I look at it and I'm like, what is the point of this? You just keep, like, there's an endless scroll and it's crazy.
Right. Are you a viewer?
No, I don't even have
okay.
one. No.
Gotcha. So it's a very addictive. It's very brilliant. It's a brilliant app. So smart in terms of, like,
you know,
putting in front
it.
Of you what you're going to want.
It.
What's that?
I said, you know who made it.
Yeah.
They're good
and,
at that.
And then it's like, but then also, like, very easy to follow. So, like, anyone can get a lot of followers. That's the brilliance of it, too. So you get, like, not famous people who have pretty
now.
Fun content,
sure.
funny, whatever, who
sure.
become, in, you know, TikTok. And it's way easier than the other apps to get famous.
Okay.
But also can't geo, and they bury anything that I go, like, hey, I'm going to be performing in wherever. That gets buried because that's
they don't
not
like that because it's not like virtual. It's like you're trying to self promote yourself where you're at.
I think, I mean, I'd have to actually talk to somebody, but if I'm theorizing, like, the brilliance of the app is the addictiveness of just swiping.
I know. Yeah,
through.
I totally get that.
So anytime you're promoting something, you're kind of taking people away from the app a little bit.
Sure.
And it's not humor, teaching. These are the things, you know, humor does well, teaching does well, super hot does well,
sure.
you know, lip syncing of a funny thing, you know, that's what does, good sound does well. Well, it's not good sound, it sounds, right? So not, it's not good
sure.
sound to be like, hey, come see me at the
yeah.
chuckle
yeah.
fucking hut or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I get that. Yeah,
and you can't. You can't lip sync. Nobody's going to lip sync that because it's so specific to you.
Sure, right. Well, and it,
or
and it,
duets
and it's,
or whatever, yeah.
Right, and it doesn't fit the criteria of, like, that's a song that I know and like, and then, you know, it already has however many million views, and then
right.
some of you lip syncing ads.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I don't care. I can say how old I am. I'm almost 32.
Okay.
And I definitely and that generation that I remember, like, MySpace, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that coming out and being this, like, not that big of a deal. It was still so much more about, like, going with your friends and fucking getting shit faced to now, well, now to, like, seeing the generation that's like, I mean, they live in, like, these online worlds, like OnlyFans, or I don't know if you're allowed to say that. It's like this huge
sure.
monopoly of, like, commercialized, sex or commercialized activity.
Your personal life is commercialized. Yeah.
It's crazy. So,
and it's like been great for, you know, for someone who wants to be like a comedian or podcasting. That's
yeah.
really great for us. But then I watch, like, I won't name a name on this, but I saw someone recently who released something online that was funny. I'll just go with that.
Sure.
And then I had heard, I like this person personally, and I like their comedy.
Sure.
But I'd heard, like, a rumbling of something of misbehavior by them, and I was like, oh, yeah, what was that? And then I went into a rabbit hole of looking into
sure,
it.
Of course, why not, right?
Because of a number of reasons, curiosity, but also, like, what was it?
Yeah,
and also,
you're
like,
I'm a detective, and it's your goal to
yeah.
figure out exactly, you need to do pros and cons of if this person, you know, deserves moral, you know, sort of standings at this point. It's crazy.
Well, and that's the thing of, like, I think that's fair. I think I should know, like, who I'm associating with, but then
sure.
also, like, there are levels, you know, and it's hard because a lot of people, when someone does something terrible, don't want to acknowledge that there are levels of misbehavior.
Sure.
But within the law and within our own personal interactions, there's levels. And so I wanted to know what the level was
Yeah, you're
because,
like, let me see
you
if you're
know.
going mild, medium, or fucking like a
Yeah, and
jalapeno pepper.
sometimes I share this person's content because I like them. So I'm like, all
Sure.
right, I
Yeah,
better,
you
you
gotta
know.
know. You go down just as easy.
That's a good way to phrase it. And
Sure.
then I looked and I was like, I won't say what my conclusion was about. I just really don't want, but the overall point is like, I looked at it and went, oh, yeah, I don't want to be famous.
Sure. I talk about that all the time too, where it's like, it's the scrutiny that comes with it is like, it's a level of like, it's almost like insanity. It's like, it goes past the throwing stones when you live in a glass house. It's like, we're talking about like, I sometimes, because I think about that too. So for a long time on social media, I didn't ever promote that I was a stripper. I kind of like kept those two lives separate. And then I entered into this like, well, fuck, I've been doing this for so long, and it's such an outlet that if you promote yourself, it brings you in money. It's a kind of like a part of my life that would be hard for me to like make go away if that was what ended up being something that I wanted to do. And it really started to make me think of like, well, at this point, fuck it, because I'm never going to be in a position where if somebody didn't look hard enough, they couldn't find out that I was a stripper somewhere at some point. And it takes away that, like, oh God, almost like the elusiveness of like being able to feel like you can be one way with a certain set of people because that's what they're comfortable with. But then you have another set of people that you're like, oh, well, I get down with them a little bit more, so I'll be a little bit more comfortable. But then God forbid if someone from this other group talks to the other person, and then you're like, they're like, you're a fucking fraud, you know? Like,
Yeah, it's like you're living, you feel forced into living a, like forced into living, a lie is too strong, but yeah. But you're like, well, you created this for me by not
yeah.
approving of what I do. So it's like,
It's
you
like,
know, I mean, at a low level, I hide jokes from my mom at a low level. That's
sure.
like a low level of what you're describing. Because
Right.
I'm like, well, you
You wouldn't get
caused
it.
this. You
Yeah,
caused
like,
this. I,
yeah.
you know, and then she'll see or find something out or whatever. It's, she found out about this, right? And it was, you know,
God
because I promoted it on
forbid.
social
Yeah.
media and then, oh, Corey, it was a text message and I'm like, Corey, you know,
Yeah.
and uncomfortableness. And I go, hey, this is uplifting, positive, totally, you know. And I
Sure.
used to teach high school.
Yeah.
So I know
I know.
that there are, and you quit, if you quit teaching high school and you don't retire, then there's going to be people who go, oh, you know,
Yeah.
what happened
What
there?
happened? Yeah,
So
exactly.
I know that exists and it's like, whatever. And
Sure.
former students come to shows, and some of them I drink with. There's a buddy in Phoenix that I golf with every time down there. We drink. We have, he's not my student anymore. He's my friend now.
Right. Well, it's, I
You
mean,
know.
it's different like associations in that sense. It's like the same thing of like,
He's 35. Like he's
yeah,
not my
well, exactly.
student.
Like you're
He's,
probably
you
not
know.
going to say a dick joke to your kid when he's 5, but at fucking 25, you better believe you're going to say a dick joke. You
And then people come
know?
see a show and they jokingly go, I'm glad you're not my kid's teacher. And I'm like, you realize
Sure.
it's not, I don't, I
Yeah.
teach. I
I
teach
actually practice all
history.
my
Like, you
jokes at school first. I run it by the toughest critics because everybody knows that kids don't bullshit.
you guys finger, have you done that? I know it's not, all right, let's see. So,
Yeah. I
anyhow, so it's a
totally get
low-level
that.
version of what you're talking about. But so then from your, let's, you know, your perspective, it's like, so like family, do they know or care?
Yeah, so
Or who do
it's a
you keep
here's
it
I okay,
from
well,
or
here's the
what?
thing. I'm not from Tahoe originally. Actually, I am born and raised in Las Vegas. So I grew up in a world of like when I went to high school, so I was a freshman, there were girls that were seniors that drove BMWs and fucking Mercedes, and us little freshmen would be like, what the fuck is that girl
How's
doing? You
that
know? Yeah.
possible?
And you're like, oh, well, she works at Deja Vu on the weekends. And like, and it was, it's a different world, you know? So I grew up in that. And actually, I had a daughter really young. I got pregnant at 16. I had my daughter at 17. And I lived in Miami for a little bit, and I went and auditioned at a club when I was 17.
Okay.
Crazy. Shouldn't have done that, especially not in Miami.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that I ever even walked another strip club after that, because it was the craziest shit I've ever
Yeah, is
seen.
that legal? All right, okay.
Probably
Yeah,
not.
All right. All right. All right.
So I had my daughter, and I remember the day I turned 18, I started stripping. I was like in the strip club, and it happened that fast. And it wasn't necessarily that, like, my family knows, you know, and I grew up in a very religious, like, Roman Catholic family, and my grandmother's super devout. And I remember her being like, well, you know, like, you're beautiful, and we get it, and, you know, and whatnot. And it was like, it was a really strange thing where it's like, when you live in a place or you grow up in a place like Vegas, and I'm talking like where sex is at now, or whatever you want to call it, and how commercialized it is, that was already going on 20 years ago there. Like, I used to walk the strip when I was 12 years old and collect the little prostitute cards that the little people would hand out, because we're like, they just keep handing them to you, you know?
Yeah.
Take them. So I guess
I went to my friend's house to go sledding at 13 and walked in, they were watching porn. I was like,
I
thought we were going sledding.
God. Yeah, exactly.
Can we go sledding? I don't like this.
Listen, ew.
No.
Gross. So I guess I've benefited from the fact that, like, I've never really, I guess you'd say, like, have to hide it. It was not something like I'm not, on the contrary, I totally, like, love, my best friend is super forward and outgoing with herself and being a stripper. And I'm not like that either, though. Like, in my day-to-day life, I don't broadcast that I'm a stripper, you know?
Sure.
So, like, there's, like, levels to how open you are with it, because there's a lot of judgment that comes with it, you know? Like, you don't know who you're going to talk to that's like, oh my God, so what you're meaning to say is that you're a fucking slut. You know, like, it's you have to pick and choose who you're like, oh, this is what I do. And somebody who's going to be accepting, just be like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's a job. And then other people are like, so you're a whore, and, you know, and
yeah. And then there's the thing of, like, and then it brings in a whole new realm of, like, conversation or question, which is like, well, not for that reason, at least.
Yeah, no,
or like,
not for that one.
Maybe I am, but not because I strip.
Yeah. Exactly.
But also, who cares if I am? But also, that's none of your business if I am. But also, I know nothing about your sex life. So why would you, you know, whatever. Like, unless you're close to me and I share it with you because I want to, why would you? But yeah, there is presumptions of, like, and it's interesting because you said you don't really, like, you'd have a glass of wine, right? But you don't really drink a lot, or, you know, wouldn't take a shot in the middle of the day like this degenerate. But
listen, you're gonna get sponsored, so
in my experience of only, you know, frequenting clubs but also doing interviews over the last 2.5 years, in general, women of the same age as the women I've interviewed, let's say 21 to 33 ish, and some older, you know, whatever, are the strippers I've interviewed are less promiscuous, as far as I can tell.
Sure.
And not in a bad or good way, like more monogamous, less promiscuous. A lot of them are sober or leaning more that way than,
sometimes,
you
yes,
know,
maybe no. Yeah.
A bunch of them are in recovery, you know, not a bunch, but like plenty are in recovery.
Sure.
Like, there's like all these things that, like, not only are people shitty to assume it, but they're, like, I think statistically probably wrong. Like, I don't think it's quite, I don't know. But your experience in the clubs might inform us a little bit more on that. I don't know.
It depends on where you are. So I've done it all. I started in Vegas working there. I did little clubs there. I did big clubs there. It depends on... it depends on what the rapport of the club is. So I started at a very small club, and now looking back to it, I'm like, oh, well, there was probably a lot of prostitutes in there, because, like, those were the type of people that frequented it. You could tell that there was, they're called, like, they're called baby clubs. So there's clubs, full nude, no alcohol in mm-hmm. Vegas that are, you know, most 18 to 20 year old girls work there because you can't work at the big girl clubs.
Gotcha.
So the men that go in there, and it's like, it's crazy to think of when I think back to it, are either very much older, creepy men, younger kids that are like fucking probably spending their like financial aid money, and pimps. And like, those are the three type of people that go into those clubs. So you go to like a small club like that. And then I worked at a bigger little girl club, which is like Deja Vu, which is a chain. And they're a lot more, you know, they promote like the partying and like, oh, it's here for a good time and it's full nude. And even though we don't have alcohol, like you'll still have a good time. So there's like a difference between those.
Okay.
Then when you go to the bigger clubs, so then when I turned 21, I went to like a big girl club. And like, you know, Sapphire and Spearmint Rhino. I mean, it's like a fucking different world in there. You know, like you have people that are spending so much money that girls get into this like, well, I need to party because I need to be fun for these people. You know, like, that's like this like stigma that comes with it. And then a lot of girls come out of that. You'll see, maybe you talk to girls that are, and then they realize that they're like, fuck, I've spent the last 5 years just like drinking you don't realize when when I would work a lot, people would be like, oh, do you want to go out? And I'm like, ew, fuck no. Like, I go out every single night. Like, I'm at the party every single night.
Right.
You start to get into this place where you're like, I want to be able to like wake up tomorrow morning and not, you know, throw up for 2 hours. And then like, you meet a lot of girls that get a bit older, that they either go one of two routes. They either like start not drinking that much in the club, or they just like commit fully. And they're like, well, I need 5 drinks to start working.
They even do this.
Exactly. To even fucking walk into this building.
Interesting. Yeah. And that makes sense in Vegas that all makes sense in Vegas. And then besides Vegas, but like Bend, Oregon is like significantly different in terms of just the culture of the city.
I've been dancing
Miami like
Miami's fucking crazy. I don't think I went back to Miami once when I was 20 with a girlfriend of mine. It's just a different, it's a different world down there,
right?
Like it's different. There's drugs and, you know, and it's like you have to be really, really, really thick skinned to work there. And even when you have enough thick skin to work there, you're still like, fuck this place. You know, like it's just, or at least for me and the few girls that I've definitely along the way, I've met a network of girls that were like, we only go to Miami if there's like some fucking, you know, we know who is going to this club and we know that they're going to spend, you know, $100,000 or something, you know?
Right.
So I did Vegas for a bit and then I moved to California and I actually moved to like a small little town. Do you know where Eureka, California is?
Yeah. And okay, my friend has a joke about it. She just posted on TikTok. She said Eureka is conservative hippies who smoke weed or something like that, like conservatives who smoke weed or some version of that was her explanation.
It's a very like on the outside looking in, it's like a logging town and then everybody grew weed. Anyway, I moved there and it was like a fucking gold mine because there was one club there, it's the same situation kind of as, and there was all these people that grew weed and it's not legal money. So they didn't have anywhere to spend their illegal money other than strip clubs and like used car lots, you know?
All right.
So I worked there for a long time and like it was
lived and worked there.
Oh yeah. There was this, you can find it on YouTube and it was really funny because they tried to do a reality show there. We had like a guy come in because it was so fucking weird. Like it was this weird place with like these really weird hill people that just had insane amount of money that would go in there. And like, they had no perception of like, maybe I shouldn't spend, you know, 10 grand in 1 hour. And, you know, and so it was
like fun. That win the lottery show when you watch that and people go, oh, what do I do?
Their money grew on trees. Like literally, you know,
that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. And so I was there for a long time, and then I stopped dancing for a little bit, and I ended up going back, and it almost felt like a fucking time warp. I was like, oh my God, I'm still in the same building with these same fucking weird people that come in here, and like, I can't do it anymore. And I talked to one of my friends, a dancer, and I was talking to her about going to Alaska. So Alaska is a big thing in the summertime. Like Bush Company is what they call it. Fishermen come in. And it's a big thing. And she was like, well, listen, before you go there, go and try Bend. And I was like, really? Like this fucking, I was like, you wouldn't say Portland or something like that, you know? And she was like, no, go to Bend. And I ended up going there, and it's been the best club I have ever worked at in like, in respects of like what you hope to achieve at a strip club as a stripper, I guess you'd say.
Which is,
okay, for me, I have a set of like, I listened to one of your podcasts and it was a girl in Utah and she was like, they don't allow lap dances there, which is fucking crazy.
Not wild.
That's like your bread and butter, you know?
So like Salt Lake City, but if you go to Salt Lake City, it's interesting because I'll just quickly say, so that was either Molly the Mormon.
I think it was Molly, yeah.
She goes by Molly the Mormon or stripper. And if you go to the club, though, it's a pretty wild, not wild, but it's like a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun happening. A lot of drinks flowing, a lot of money being thrown on the stage because that's the only way to...
It's like a party.
It's the only way. And then a lot of the women will sit at the rail or the rack and they'll participate as well. That may have just been because regulars or friends were there. I don't know because I've only been twice to that club. But just interest. And I was always, you know, I don't, money is a taboo / tacky thing to talk about. So we just try and talk about it in a way that's whatever the person's comfortable with. But like, as I was like, it's interesting because it's definitely way more money than most, I don't want to say most, but a lot of clubs that I see make on stage. Sure. But if there's zero opportunity for anything beyond the stage.
Yeah, it's like a ticking clock.
I don't know how you're like, doing it. Yeah.
Well, and not only that. So I've been in like, I mean, that's the thing in Vegas, you pay to go off stage. You're like, you don't even want to fucking go on stage.
Yeah.
That fucks with your hustle.
Yeah.
And then I've never worked at a club where you only go on stage, but I've definitely worked at clubs where like you make a lot of money on stage. And it's like this anxiety feeling of being like, okay, these guys are throwing money and I've got three girls ahead of me in rotation. Like, are they still going to be up there by the time I get there?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like a high pressure environment as opposed to when you talk to a guy and you're like, hey, do you want to do an hour with me? And they're like, sure. You know, it's like, it's
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where do we go?
And you know? There's gotta be, some security / insecurity / ego involved too. I mean, I don't know, but like as a comedian,
okay,
if I'm up next and, what happens all the time is, the people wait to go to the bathroom or whatever, smoke until a comedian finishes.
Sure.
And they don't want to go while they're on stage, which is actually relatively polite. But that means when you're next and someone steps off and a bunch of people leave, you go like,
it's like on to you to bring them back.
And it clearly has nothing to do with me. They haven't even met me yet. They don't know nothing about me. There's nothing to do with me. But then I go, God damn, like that stinks. And I've witnessed situations where someone on stage is getting so much money because they're doing well, music choice, whatever the reason, whatever the probably long list of possible reasons that is, luck, whatever.
Yeah, you'll love that. Good rotation.
Yeah. And then sometimes you go, oh no, this person's great. They're beautiful. Yeah. They're talented. They're
I don't
whatever,
go
but.
Her.
It fucking just didn't all line.
It's the same thing.
So do you go like, do you have a, feel like you have a healthy sense of like, it's just the breaks? Or do you go like, oh my God, that's going to bother me for the next.
No, I mean, maybe when I was
3 hours. Like, okay, right.
Yeah, when I was younger, maybe it was definitely like, more of an ego thing, but it's so funny because I have totally, when I was younger, I was like pull tricks and fucking who knows what up there. Now, hell no, I don't do shit up there. I'm considered the slowest mover it is because I'm like, well, listen, I have found one of two things. one, the way that you look, like the way that I look at a strip club, it's like a buffet for men, you know? Okay. Like it's the one time that you get to walk into a building and be very specific about who you like. You don't have to be like, okay, well, I really like brunettes with tattoos, but I'm in the bar and this girl's only a brunette. You're like, I want a girl that's blonde, big boobs, like, you know,
smorgasbord. Yeah,
exactly. So I've come to find out, like going on both sides of it, that one, you usually pull the people to your stage, no matter who you're after, that we're going to come and want
to
look at you.
That happened too. Yeah,
exactly. Because you're their type, you know,
you check some boxes.
Yeah, you fit the bill. Then I have also found, and I think it's like pull tricks are fucking beautiful. And like the girls that do them a lot, they'll get a lot of guys that will like just throw money at that because it looks like you're doing acrobats and shit.
Sure.
Most men want you in their face. Like if they put $5 down and they get some boobs in their face, they're I'm gonna put another $5 down. Exactly. Yeah, like, can you come a little bit closer? So I've like,
That's interesting.
So, yeah. So it's like, I've never, and I guess I should say it's definitely like, I fit a stripper look, I guess you'd say. So no matter what I feel like when I'm in the strip club, when I go on stage, somebody's going to come up there because I fit a look, but
yeah.
I couldn't imagine if that was all that it was riding on. Like if I was like, okay, there's one more girl and they're changing some ones, but I don't know if they're like going back, you know, and it's like pressure, you know? So
yeah, that is interesting that, I don't know. I can't recall how we discussed it with, cause I've interviewed three. I lost one interview like an idiot. I didn't lose it like an idiot. My hard drive failed, so what are you going to do? And didn't have a good backup. It was just whatever. And that was a woman who dances in Salt Lake City. Those two women were interviewed. There was two women I interviewed on the same day, Molly and – oh, shit. Anyway, they came together to the hotel room because they were probably like, hey, let's
we're gonna go together and then pick our location.
Molly and I had had lunch before, so I feel like she was like, she was fine, but like the other woman had never met me and was probably like,
I'll go for support.
Yeah, I had to like sweet talk them into doing two separate interviews so I could get two out of the
out of the deal. Combining them.
At that point, losing half of it was like such a big deal. It still is, but like it was such a big deal to be like, oh, I can't have, you know. So then for you and everywhere you've worked, essentially, you, I won't say need, but want to translate your work on the floor on the stage a dance or multiple dances
VIP rooms. I mean, that's like, and again, I've never worked in a club that you only have to do stage.
Sure.
So I mean, I don't really have it anything to compare it to, but I just know personally, like, my skill in the strip club environment is that, like, I'm very easy to talk to, and it's almost this like weird thing because it's like sounds vain, but I'm really pretty and I'm like almost intimidating looking to men. So when I sit with them, they assume that I'm going to be this like raging bitch, you know, like they're going to be like, oh, fuck this girl. And I'm able to just like chop it up with people about anything. Yeah. I grew up with men and it's like a skill that I'm like, oh, I can talk about football. I can talk about sports. I can talk about anything that you want to talk about. We can talk about. And that translates to men in the strip club of being like, oh, well, I like her, you know, like, you know, and then that bridges the gap to being like, oh, damn, I like her and she's hot. Let's do some lap dances, you know, which is the easiest money in the sense of like when you're talking time frame and whatnot, because the stage thing, you're up there for most clubs are like 2 to 3 songs, you know, so you're up there 6 to 9 minutes and then you have to wait who fucking knows how long to then get that opportunity again. Where when you're working the floor, you talk to one guy, he doesn't want to dance. Well, then you go to whoever else is in the building. So
interesting. And at Stars, where you currently work occasionally, you said, just because you're in, because Bend and Tahoe are a drive away from each
other. They are a drive away from each other. Yes.
Okay. I don't even know how far, but
It's
and
far.
then
I
what's that?
said it's far enough.
4, 5, 6. Okay.
Seven and a half.
All right. That's
No.
a
But see,
jaunt.
that should show you. So the thing with Bend, and I'm not sure how Portland is. I hear that Portland's really fucking crazy, but the thing with Bend is it's full nude, it's full alcohol, and there's no touching. And that's like a trifecta because it puts you in this like position of control, you know, like
For
everybody's
you
supposed
guys, just
sure, exactly.
kidding.
Boo, nobody wants
No,
that, you know.
that's the way it should be. That's the way, I mean, in my humble opinion, that's the way every club, that's the way most clubs should be. I mean, you know,
Sure.
I mean,
To each
that's
their, but
perfect.
I talked to some girls
The whole
though.
point
It
of the, yeah.
goes all ways though, because it's just dependent on where you work. So I work with girls in Bend that I mean, we love the rules. We're like, oh, you can't, there's no grinding there. If I was to go to Vegas, like I have girls that work there and they're like, ew, I'd rather grind on a guy and let him grab my boobs because I don't have to talk to him and like we do this dance and it's done, you know? And
Fair, yeah.
it depends on like where you're at, you know, and what you get
Well,
desensitized to.
yeah, and the phrase no touching is interesting, a thing of like, so this is why people should listen. This is why, you know, because it's different everywhere you go, and it's
Sure.
important to ask the rules and know them as a customer. And but like I'd say the vast majority of places that I go are no touching, but from the customer to you,
Sure.
and you
I can touch
as
you.
the stripper
Yes.
can do what you choose.
Great
And
lap dances. Yeah.
to me, I, you know, again, control and people, but to me, a woman touching me, potentially on a place that I really enjoy being
Yeah,
touched,
that I was hoping to get near.
is so much better than
Yeah, then you're like,
my palm touching her butt.
yeah,
So like, I don't,
exactly.
like, I'm not, I don't have a bunch of nerve endings.
Yeah,
You
you're
know what I'm
like,
saying?
listen,
Like,
everything touches my hand.
So it's touched me so many times. And
Yeah,
so,
and it's
yeah, I
more
guess,
that area than the hand that's getting anything out of
yeah, but
it.
I get why, 'cause like a little bit of like, you know, I guess control, or like I'm convincing myself that what I'm doing is you're enjoying, I guess, but like, come on.
Sure.
Come on.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, it's a
Yeah.
little con so to me, like getting a lap dance, sitting on my hands and letting the woman do whatever she's comfortable doing or allowed to do or whatever makes more sense to me.
Well, and you have to think of it also.
But
Yeah. And like, yeah. And unless you go to the miracle places that are like, well, you give me this hot dance and I'm touching you and you're touching me, you know? And then you're like, oh, that worked out well.
sure.
You
But I
know.
guess, yes, I'm not trying to be like, I don't get why touching girls is hot.
No.
Like,
I know what you mean. It's if
I
you have the
get
choice
why
between
touching a
one.
boob, like, amazing, beautiful boob that I would never be allowed to touch any other time, is like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, not too
I get
bad.
that. But
Yeah.
I just mean like a tap of the butt or a touch your shoulder or touch, like, I don't want to,
What
I'd
am I getting out of
rather
that? Yeah.
you go ahead and touch me, and then we're
Right.
not breaking any rules,
And
also,
well, in those
and great.
situations too, you get girls that they look at you and they're like, oh, look, he's listening and he's not trying to touch me. I'm gonna give him a really good dance.
Respect,
Because yeah,
right. Yeah.
exactly. Like it's like a power or like a control thing, you know. You
Sure.
feel like you're in control of the situation, and then you're like, oh, okay, this person is respecting what I told them. Now I'm gonna give them a really fucking good dance because why not? You know, like
I
you're
mean,
being
that's my mindset of what I think
yeah.
of. Yeah, but the guys, so kind of maybe, I don't know, you know, they figure that out. But anyway, so stars, you said, we'll rewind a minute to the trifecta of alcohol, full nude, which is rare.
It is.
Portland, of course, does that in multiple clubs, but also Portland's just weird, and you can't
Yeah,
really
but you know what's so crazy is we
judge
get
it based on what they do.
sure.
That they're a whole another world
Yeah,
of
I'm not
yeah.
it's interesting because it's like I've never worked in Portland and I've talked to a few girls that work there and I've heard that they definitely like they're over the boundaries. It's like it's crazy there. We in Bend, we get a lot of guys that come there in the summer from Portland for bachelor parties, because there's very much, I think, a line for a lot of men that they want to have a good time and they want to be at a strip club, but they at least want to walk out feeling like they like didn't do something that they're going to like regret, you know, like, and I think that that happens in Portland. And again, I've never worked there. It's just going off of like what girls have told me and whatnot. Sure. So you get these guys that are married or getting married or with significant others that are like, hey, we're going out and we're having a good time, but I don't know if I want to be the one that puts a dildo in her pussy, you know, like, that's like, that maybe is crossing the line, you know? So,
yeah. And like, so So my experience in going to them is like, it's just, there's a lot of similar things going on in Portland strip clubs, and there's a lot of differences. My experience is that the rules are pretty relatively strict, you know, there's a place in particular where I go, but mostly it's the women making all the decisions on happened.
Yeah.
And whatever. Bringing women on stage occasionally, and you're seems like it's probably against the law.
All right. it's consent.
Yeah. And, but there's also an element of like, sometimes you just feel like you're in a bar. And it doesn't necessarily feel like it's all that different than a dive bar or a regular. Sure. And to the point that like there's a couple clubs that I've been in where they'll have a woman designated to sort of walk around with a bucket, like, hey, remember, you're not just at a bar.
Yeah.
And you go, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, shit,
you're like,
sorry.
Oh, goodness,
yeah, you're
right.
You know. and so I can see if you are, and some of them are packed, you know, like all the time. And so that's the thing. And so I could see like if you, and then there's downtown versus not downtown versus,
right.
So there's all these different, and I could see a scenario where, and you want to get away, you go, I want to get away from my bachelor party. But yeah, sure. Like, anyway, that's interesting. But you have this scenario where you have, the ability to have men and women drinking, but it gets shut down pretty quick in my experience at your club.
Oh my God, it's the craziest shit I have ever seen. They turn the lights on. Have you been there at the end of the night? Like, so
I was there at the end of the night recently, and I was there one time where I feel like there's a chance I'm wrong about this, but I feel like we were just getting situated. There used to be dances up by the DJ booth.
Right, they're changing that now.
Yeah, and there wasn't this last time I was there. They were only in the back room last time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we were getting situated, and she was arranging her body and sitting, and there was maybe a touch of her butt in that process.
Yum.
And it was.
Was it like
No, one guy came over and he was like, hey, none of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know.
This is years ago. I don't recall.
Okay. So yeah, I
was going to say, we have a bouncer there that like, I think he like takes it personally that he thinks every one of us is his girlfriend. And you know, sure.
Girlfriend, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sure, somewhere along the lines to where he's like, you're like, oh, Drew's walking around, so your best fucking behavior, because he's not gonna fuck around.
Fair enough. You know? But that's, I mean, that's better than free for all, and you guys being like, what the fuck, man? Come on.
I get that. But yeah, Bend is interesting because the cutoff time, I almost want to say the cutoff time for drinking is at 2:30? I'm not sure. You could correct me on that in Oregon.
Probably COVID, who fucking knows anymore. But yeah.
They stop serving alcohol at 1:30. They're like super strict. They're very like, they try to stay in the good graces.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Whoever. So when that club closes at 2, they turn on the fucking lights. And I'm not talking about like a few lights. It's like, right at, you should see,
and like, you guys girls, are like, Jesus Christ,
yeah, like, the girls start scurrying to the back.
Hey.
It's like they're like, holy shit, you know, like, because nobody wants to be that person that's like bright, like, oh, it's fucking
crazy.
Oh yeah, it's like, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, but funny. It works because it gets everybody out of the fucking club. They're like, listen, we close at 2. I've worked at plenty of clubs. A lot of clubs in Vegas are like 24 hours, but other clubs where if there's people in there spending money, they'll like keep music going. They're like, oh, you know, people, hell no. But they tell you when there's the last 3 songs and then it is done. Like if you didn't get them during that time, lights are on and you're getting the fuck out the door, you know? So it's like, it's kind of,
this is probably where Seattle or maybe all of Washington has gone wrong, because Seattle in so many ways is very similar to Portland, but in terms of sex work, or at least strippers, I don't know about the rest of sex work. I don't really know. It is very strict in Seattle.
Yeah.
And
which is interesting because Seattle's like a
super liberal, progressive,
super liberal,
whatever.
I mean, that's the same thing with California, though. I don't work in California anymore because if there's full alcohol, you can't even show boobs anymore. You're in pasties,
And
it's like, it's like
the whole state, or is that a city by city?
Whole state, whole
really,
state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and that's I mean, what's interesting about liberal / conservative with respect to a strip club is that you get liberal enough and you find folks who are like, you know, you find a group of folks who are like, this is demeaning and this is you know, this is this
sure.
can be, you know, sure. You know, you get conservative religious or whatever folks who go, oh my god, this is demeaning, this is terrible. But you get some like super liberal folks who too, or a certain type of liberal person, I guess, who goes like, This is a direct line to sex trafficking. This is you know, and you're like, well, sure,
definitely, yeah.
Doesn't have to be,
and then you're like, well, you know, there's a few more things you got to get to before we get to sex trafficking.
Yeah. But my one experience in a Seattle, one experience in a Seattle strip club was on my birthday. So I was married. I started dating her at 17. Married at 22.
Okay.
Married till 33. We were conservative Christian kids in high school. Chose that ourselves because we were nerds and it just matched up with our lifestyle. Yeah. We're like, hey,
really cool at the time.
We're nerds. You guys are nerds.
Exactly.
And the joke I'm trying to do right now is my dad was very disappointed. He was like, oh.
Yeah.
Boo. You're going to be a Jesus, yeah. huh? And you're like, yeah.
Really? He loves me.
Cool.
Yeah.
He's my father.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
And he's like, you're not going to drink or have sex? And I was like, mm-mm. And he's like, oh, not even fireball and fingering?
Yeah, like nothing? Nothing? You don't want to touch a titty before you enter?
Fireball doesn't even count. Fingering doesn't count. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Jesus said no. So this has been told on the podcast, so I'll be quick. But 33 is when we got a divorce and when I'd only had sex with her. And so there was this time frame when we were still together, but we knew we weren't going to be together.
Sure.
And so I was like, I've literally never been on a date except for middle school, like high school dance.
Yeah.
And I've never slept with anybody or even tried to,
because
I've only been with her.
Faithful husband.
And I was faithful. And so I was like we were still living together. She was going to move out. And I went to a couple, I went to Seattle one on my birthday. And it was like, the one was like, well, I'll give you a dance. And it was great. And then there was like there was a decent amount of like dirtiness to what she was willing to do or they were willing. And I was like, I think this is, maybe I don't know shit about shit, but if you take away nudity and you take away alcohol, you're gonna get a certain kind of guy.
Yeah, who wants to get jerked off through his pants? Yeah, like.
And you're gonna back the women into a little bit of a corner of like, well, if you want
to
make money,
yeah, exactly. It's
and I so to me it seems like a little bit more liberal rules would result in a little bit less creepy behavior, but I don't know. Like I don't.
Oh no, I mean that's 100% because you get in a position where, I mean, take Ben for instance. It's like a level of comfortability that you're like, okay, everybody's drinking, which makes it super less awkward because like, then it's nude. Which, like, when people think of nude, I totally think it's like, ew, you know, but it's like, there's like this level of it being like, oh, wow, that's a really beautiful woman. Or, oh, wow, she's like comfortable with her body to show it, you know. And then when you add in the like, oh, and she's in control of like, there's no touching. So it's more of like, And it's like this, like, I wouldn't say like an art thing, you know, but it's just like, it's this situation sure. where people feel comfortable, you know, because they're like, it's taken the
odds. It's not like, oh my God. Wow. Yeah, you're not like, crazy. Shit.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Into the sex club, you know? So it's right. like, but when you don't have those things, you're right. You get the men that think that you're going to grind on their dick until they come. Like, that's what they're right. expecting, because they don't have alcohol and they don't get to look at pussy. Like, if you don't yeah. have those two things, there's only a third that is, why else would you be there? You know, like
a little bit in the mind of a man, you know, unless you're there with a group, in which case, yeah. but even then you're not drinking. So I, you know,
and
I just,
makes fucking weirder.
I just, and it's right by the one main club in, there's multiple, but the main club is right by the baseball park and the football field. And it's like, and they try and, you know, I mean,
yeah, sure.
obviously you try to get folks to come over from those places, and you're like,
yeah, why would I do
it's
that?
A certain kind of person that goes to a yeah, baseball exactly. football game why, too. Yeah, so exactly. you're really well, narrowing. Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's like, then you get those people that are going to leave and they're either going to walk into somewhere. Do they have alcohol in the Seattle clubs?
Yes or no.
Not allowed. Oh, okay. So, yeah, so it's like, so you get people that walk in there that either they have alcohol, but it's super strict, and then they feel like they might as well be in a bar, or they have no alcohol, mm-hmm. and then it's like really awkward, yeah. and then they're like, well, if I'm here.
And you have to buy, and there's no food either at this particular club, yeah. so there's no food, and you're like asked to either cover and buy drinks, or cover and it covers two drinks or something, yeah, like, you're like, but you're like, all right, two Pepsis and there's just a lot of sweatpants dudes, you yeah, know, and you're like, well, gross. I don't know.
Listen, that is never acceptable. Like, and I don't know who, I mean, somebody that came up with it, genius, because it's gotten sure. like away for a long time, but you like, you're now put in the category, like, sir, you came in here in sweatpants. Like, you could have even went with dress pants, which is equally as revealing.
Thin. True.
Yes. Sweatpants, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You hear that, guys? Wear silk pants next time.
Like, wear dress pants. They're just as thin.
Silk pants stain easily, though, I'll tell you. But
I have one favorite stripper story. So when
there we go. Now we're talking.
When I worked at the club in California, the Eureka Club, mm-hmm. there was an older gentleman that used to come in, so Wednesday, there was like a place in town that did salsa night, and he would go to it every Wednesday. And like every once in a while, he would come in before because he'd want to get like warmed up before going to salsa class. So he was maybe, I'm going to say like 70, no joke. Okay. His name was George with a G, but he preferred to be called Jorge. Like that's, you know, so like that's just weird.
Asian?
Yeah, exactly. And like he came in one time in like a man thong with a fishnet outfit over, and his like debate was that he had clothes on, you know. He was like, listen, I've got clothes on.
Okay.
And it was so funny.
Technically, no.
Yeah, exactly. So the club when I worked there was really funny because there was only VIPs there, and you could dance to your own music, which is kind of like weird now that I think about it. So you would like bring in your little iPod. And
Portland,
like,
yeah, there's a few clubs like that, yeah.
So he would come in, and he had no preference at all. It was just the first girl that he saw. He would like grab him by the hand and start like salsa-ing around, you know, and you would go and do a dance for him. And I don't know, I had to be like, I don't know, 23 or something. And I was like, fuck it, that's a quick, like, easy $150.
Yeah,
I'm going back, you know, like, yeah. I'll take the fucking fishnets. We weren't allowed to grind at the time. Like, it wasn't like, you know, and when you give this dude dance, I never give him a dance. We go back there, and I'd always heard stories, but I hadn't been there when he had come in. You get into the dance room with him, and he's a fucking lunatic. Like, so you couldn't touch the club either, but it had these big couches, and he would grip the couches and like start screaming like fuck me. So, and he'd be like thrusting, and it's like it was like riding like a bucking bronco.
Wow.
And it's so crazy too, because I think back to it and I'm like, who the fuck let this dude in that day? Like, because he was in that outfit. It was like, it was almost like a woman.
But that was his norm behavior every time he got a dance?
Everything. Or you don't... He would be like, fuck me, and you know, and then people would hear that in the club and they're like, what's going on back there?
you know? Funny. I wonder, was it just like he was, yeah, interesting.
No, he would get all, like, it was weird. He would always do three songs. And because then I had seen him, like, then afterwards, I was like, okay, never doing that again. You know, okay. But I would see girls.
That's, yeah.
I would see girls like go dance with him again. And it was the same thing every single time. Like, he would like get so worked up in this dance and like pelvic thrusting. And then he would just walk out like he was an oral person. He'd be like, okay, I'll see you guys later.
You think they were like, hey, he's harmless. Who cares? I'll take my money and keep doing it.
Yeah, I think yeah. He was harmless. I think it was just my bad choice of going the one time he was in like a fucking outfit that nobody should have let him in, you know?
Gotcha.
But they were just like, oh, well, he's harmless, you know? And I'm like,
but he didn't normally dress like that, but he did normally behave like that. That's
interesting. Normal behavior. Yeah.
Well, we'll let's do it. So we don't usually do it like this. We'll do a little bit kind of a lightning round here. Best stripper song or songs you like to dance to?
Ooh, okay, so I cover the board. I really love Black Magic Woman, Santana. Ah. I like After Dark. I don't know who it's by, but it's like the song that Salma Hayek dances to and From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's she's right up the alley right for me. Yeah, she's right up my alley.
Checking the boxes.
Yeah.
I can dance to anything though. I try to play to the crowd. So if there's rock in there, I'll do that. I can do hip hop. I've done, you know, like, I don't know, fucking club music and shit like that, and they're very, the DJ at the club is very good about playing to the crowd.
Okay, so you don't, you do you put it, do you go like, here are my three songs I want, or do you go like, no, give so me something good, like give me something in this vein, or do you just go, well, yeah, how's
no
it?
So the way that we do it at that club is we all have Spotify accounts, and then we have playlists, and we just put songs onto a playlist, and the DJ asks that you put like a few different genres in there so he can choose to play, and then if you tip him well and you're set on like a certain amount of songs and you have enough time, you can go and ask him and say, hey, there's these people, I want to play this, I think it'll be, and he'll put it in. But if not, he's pretty good about, he'll pick you songs off your list. So at least you know that you're not going to get like, fucking, I don't know, something you would
Cotton Eye Joe or something. Yeah,
exactly. Some, you know.
That's fun. That's a great idea. Fuck Spotify, though. They're fucking deleting comedians. But it's okay. Nah, they're fine. There's whatever. All it's right. A whole thing.
You're on Spotify though. Are you on there? This one's.
I'm awesome. Yeah, my album's on there, but I'm a Pandora guy. I didn't realize Spotify was so popular. I mean, I knew it was popular, but I didn't know it was leaps and bounds more popular than Pandora. I thought Pandora was very normal amongst people, and then I talk to people and they go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're like, what?
Pandora's, I use Spotify, what? And I'm like, oh, Pandora's a little more. It caters a little more to comedians, and so that's, you know, whatever. Sure. But there's a whole thing. Spoken word is technically what we do. So we write it and we perform it, and we weren't getting royalties on both.
Okay.
Because they were something about these streaming services were like, well, you just perform it. And we're like, well, we're writers of it as well.
Yeah, like, you didn't fucking think it up.
Or vice versa or something. And they were like, well, then just fuck you. We'll take you off because we don't want to pay you for both of those things. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know all the details. But I got, there's a company that is on it, and they, I'm subscribed to their service, and I go, you take care of this and hopefully figure it out. Do you ever worry about the law? Have you ever run in with the law?
No,
do you care about the law? do you, what
no,
do you?
In Vegas, yeah. It's a real thing, like undercovers that come in and whatnot. And like, the undercovers there, it's really fucking strange rules. Cause I mean, obviously they're looking for prostitutes, and like, you know what a prostitute is. If she offers you a blowjob, that's prostitution. But they have weird things where if you don't have both feet on the ground while giving a lap dance, they can give you a ticket. Or if you put your boobs in somebody's face for like 5 Mississippi counts, give you a ticket. So it's like really strange.
Gotcha.
That I've heard from a lot of girls that like they worry about, but they're not even, you know, soliciting anybody, and they're like, I got a ticket because I don't have 2 feet on the ground, you know. But where I work, no, like they're very, the club itself is so run tight knitly, and I think that they choose to have the super strict rules. I don't think they have to.
Sure.
In order to kind of like
stay
graces, because yeah. it's the only club there, you know. So it's like if they shut down, they get fucked, you know.
Yeah, it's a thing of like just go one little bit further than the law requires, and people stay out of your hair. So
right, right.
I don't know anything about staying out of hair, but yeah, I get it. Do you? You said so. You go like for a week ish, and then stay there and have a place or hotel or.
No, I've got a girlfriend I stay with, and I usually work. I don't know, 6 or 7 days straight, and like I'll definitely.
Beat the shit out of your body.
Exactly. Being there from open till close, and it's worth it, you know. And then come summertime, I go up there a lot more. I'm there usually most of the summer, and you make enough money during that time to where I only have to go once a week for the rest of the year. So it's not bad.
Wild. And and not, I don't know how to say the word without the, using the word all.
Okay.
But is it all you do? Like, I. Because people ask me, you're just a comedian? And I'm like, well, not just a comedian, but yeah, this is my job. So,
I mean,
is that other irons in the fire for money?
Yeah, it's my main source of income. And it's like what I consider my job, you know? Like, it's what I do. I mean, there's definitely like other things along the way that I'm like, oh, I can make some money doing that. So I'll do that a little bit. But when it comes to like being like, I know that I'm going to be able to pay my rent and, you know, buy myself groceries. Like, yes, it's that, you know, but I am in school. I just don't know.
Ah, I gotcha.
I don't know what I want to do with that after.
Sure. Nobody does. Yeah. I'm definitely not using my degree anymore. I mean, I was for a while, but
I think at this point I just want one just to say I have one, and I don't know if that's the right reason to get one, but whatever.
Do you care to say what that is that you're studying?
Yeah, I'm double majoring in computer science and accounting. So
you're gonna be a boring accountant.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. It's I've always been really good with math, and the joke with computer science is it's just a glorified mathematician because that's all it fucking really is. Like, you don't really learn anything about computers in that sense. You know, you learn like a few languages, but not enough to be like, I'm going to go start programming, you know. You have to like you have to do your own internships after. And then I started doing accounting because for a little bit when I wasn't dancing, I was like doing the like books for somebody super loosely, I would say, you know, and I really liked it. And I was like, well, fuck it. Okay. If I'm in a place where I have the mental capacity to kind of tamper with it, and I ended up really liking it. So now I can't like choose between the two, so I just said, I'll go until my like brain spins away, you know.
Right. And not that this ever has to end dancing, but I interviewed a woman who started at 49 and she's 52 now.
I don't even think it would necessarily be, because I mean that I've always said that too, like having an exit strategy, because at some point you have to be like, okay, do I want to keep doing this? But then I hear of like women that, I mean, it's they're like career strippers, you know, they make, like, I worked with a girl. I will tell this one story. The most money I have ever seen somebody make in one night. She was a 49-year-old little Asian woman.
Okay.
Had fake boobs, but nothing else. Like you could tell she was older, but like she was aging well. This bitch made, it was the most money I ever made in a night too. Like like not telling somebody to come in and give me money.
Gotcha. Okay.
She made, I don't know, $45,000 in one night off of and like I was like, why would she ever stop stripping? Like, why would you ever stop if you have that skill? And it just so happened I ended up talking to her because it was in Vegas, and I got pulled into this like, I don't know what you would call it, like money pit. And I ended up making an absurd amount of money. Not that, but, and I talked to her and I was like, like, is this all you do? And she's like, oh, I have a PhD in psychology and it works really well in here. And I'm like, well, of course, it, like, why wouldn't you invest in your, you know, so
man.
If I was to quit, I think it would be because like my body got tired of it.
Sure.
Because when it comes to like I said, it's like a buffet. Like I'm 30, almost 32 now. And definitely when I was younger, like there was older guys that liked me and then there was younger guys that liked me. And I was like, oh, okay, that's because I'm young. And but now that I'm at my age, I'm like, it's the same fucking people. Like there's still like niches for people that are like, I like women that are older than me, or I like women that are the same age as me. Or you get girls, they're like, oh, I like older women, you know? So it's right. Like, I don't, it's hard to put a cap on like, this is when I'm ending and I'm done here. Because if you're making money, well, fuck it. You know, like,
yeah. Right. Right.
That's crazy. Somebody started at 49. Holy shit.
Yeah. That was somebody in Portland. Pretty wild. That they were really involved in fitness and yoga and stuff like that. And someone within that world was like, have you ever thought of trying? And
yeah,
it just worked out. The last 2 years has been bizarre, obviously, and probably affected your work. Did you consider anything virtual or online?
I have an OnlyFans now.
Okay.
I just recently started it. And it's just because I have like a decent amount of followers on Instagram. I mean, I'm not really sure where they came from, to be honest. Like, I don't.
That is interesting.
Like,
okay.
I don't really like push, but I have a nice big butt, and like that's just always like. And sure. I would get men that would, you know, would always be like, oh, I just like want to see more pictures of your ass, like just ones that, you know. And I was like, forever, I was like, I'm not gonna do it. That's stupid. I don't want to do that. But then I've come like been in this place where I'm like, well, why would I not do that? If somebody wants to pay for a picture of my butt, like, sure, but here you go.
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, for quote unquote free, you can see it at the club. Not free, but, you know, free,
yeah,
I guess.
If, you
know, if you're like me and I sit with my back to the stage. But yeah, I mean, I, you know, part of me goes like, I don't know why every single woman in the world
doesn't have one. Yeah.
Sell some version of sexuality. And that might, I don't, you know, but then the consistent answer I get from women is, well, it's more than just like, take a photo, put it up, you know, that's constant. Hustle in and
well,
of itself,
you know, it
and
is
so, but like to me it could be passive. Like I got offered $750 for a picture of my dick from a gay guy. I assume he's a guy, I don't know, it's a silhouette. I have no idea.
Yeah. Did you do it?
He doesn't have the money. I thought he had the money.
Oh, ew.
He's paying me. We're at $300. He's paying me in installments, so yes, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, good.
Has to have my face in it, but whatever, it's out there with my face in it already. So
that's the worst thing that could
for
be out
$0.
There. Exactly, it's already out there.
It's very passive, but it's like I've had to chat with the guy, and I've put work time in effort, whatever. But what? But
see,
it's very passive. It's pretty passive income.
The crazy thing about it, though, is
it
like,
can be.
You get to put the limitations on it. So that's like that versus the club. When you're in the club, like you're in there, you're in the environment. So if you're not really feeling it, you better fucking suck it up or go home. You're there.
Yeah.
But like with OnlyFans and the internet, like don't get me wrong, there's guys that want to talk to me, and when I feel like engaging with them, I'll talk to them.
Sure.
But then I'm like, you know, I don't really want to talk to anybody today. I don't have to get on there, you know?
True.
And it's like this crazy level of like, you put in the work, but like, is it really that much work? Like, was it really taxing to talk to the guy and be like, do you want a picture of my dick? And he's like, yeah, I really want that. And you're like, oh my God, that was a lot of work.
What am I gonna do? Now, but you have a lot more competition in the space. So that makes it, you know, you don't, you know.
I try not to look at it that way though, because it's like, When you start to look at everything as a competition, because I found that with the strip club too. When you go into it with this, like, this person's my competition, it's like, it almost, I almost used to relate the strip club to like being like high school, but now there's money involved because you're like going in there and you want attention and like you're given money based upon like your looks, you know? And it's like where when you remove the competition about it and you're just like, hey, these people for whatever reason have chosen me to like me or have an attraction towards me or something that I have that I can give them. And here it is. Like if I was to look at the next girl, it's like, oh fuck. Well, that girl is like doing this and she's making more money. That's my competition. And it's like, well, there's certain things that I don't do and won't do. And so I will never be able to compete with certain people. And I'm okay with that. You know,
like, well, this is why, this is part of why it's so similar to comedy and how the birth of the podcast came from more of like, this is so so interestingly similar to stand up and what we do, what I do and what I advise all other comedians to do if they ask, but a lot of them don't do it, is learn the phrase cup of tea and just go, that's not my cup of tea, or that is my cup of tea.
Not only that, it makes your life a lot, it like makes it a lot easier on
that's
you.
For my, that's for, yeah, yeah, for my good, yeah, for my own good.
I see it with girls too. When I was younger, I was very egotistical and I was like, I have to be the baddest bitch in this club and fuck everybody else in here. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, like we're all in here together. Like we're all doing this. Like some nights are going to be your nights and some nights are not going to be your nights. And like, if you take that home with you, like who's the loser, you know? Right. Like,
so. Well, you'll be real bitter, ironically, like a lot of cups of tea are really bitter. But, well, you know, and on a show, we're all on a show and I'm like, I hope they suck. I hope they suck. I hope they suck. Like, is that really a great show? Is that going to work out great for me? No, probably not. We're getting to the end. So let's just, you talked about future a little bit, family you reference, but like you have a kid or multiple kids or a kiddo and two kiddos and they're and you're like they live with you and the whole thing and
yeah, so I have a really good relationship with their dad and we do like half and half time.
Great.
He's a great fucking dad. I feel so fortunate because I see all these situations with people where they have kids and it's like the worst situations I've ever been in their life and I'm like, yeah, me and my baby daddy are like pretty fucking cool with each other, you know? We just love our kids. So when you take your ego out of it, like then you have a mutual common ground that you want to love your kids and this person loves your kids. And then you're like, oh, well, I guess
they have two people who love my kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. But yeah, too. And it's like, I see it a lot with people and that it's hard to take that out of it, but when you can look at something of like mutual ground, like, hey, you guys want to put on a good show, well, like everybody's here to do that, then we're gonna put on a good show. It's the same thing with like parenting, you know? You're like, if we love these kids, then that's how it's gonna, you know, that's what matters.
Right. That's great. And I don't have, see, I didn't have, when I got divorced, no kids, no money, so no issues, you know?
There you like,
But I think we could have, we were best buds. We shouldn't have got married, probably.
Yeah.
But we didn't know any better. We were 23 and we were best friends and everybody in our world was like, marry your best friend. And I was like, okay, it's her, you know?
That
was
great.
So that's great. And then, it doesn't matter, but he lives somewhere else or lives close and you guys are able to.
He lives somewhere else.
He lives somewhere else, but you're able to make it work.
Oh yeah.
And he's got his whole life and work.
Oh yeah.
And
new baby, new almost life, I think. Like,
sure.
It's like a very, it like feels like I'm removed, but like Brady Bunch sort of ish. Like close with his girlfriend. They have a baby now. Daughters are like that. That's like their sister. You know, it's like a very.
I see it as their sister. Good.
Yeah, exactly.
And on your end, you got a dog I see running around. And
there's
so that's
two
there.
Of them. And he's like, there's two. I'm so glad that they didn't start barking because usually they're just like super paranoid. But
you're great.
Right now he's doing a PP pace, like he gets PP emergency.
I'm feeling the same thing. I get it. I had a bunch of water here, and for you for fun. I mean, you spoke about briefly, like, hey, you want to go out? And you're like, I'm out every night. But that was like sort of your past. So now if you go, you go to the gym, it appears.
Yeah, I go to the gym. Now I'm in a place.
Now you're where... like what? Happy hour.
I go out. Are you kidding me? I have a fucking I do, but.
Okay.
It's probably because I'm not in a position, so I don't drink in the club, which makes it a lot easier for me to enjoy like doing it on my own time, you know? So when I do go out now, it's like I'm genuinely like there to have it. It doesn't feel like a chore, you know?
Gotcha. And you're not required to drink at your club, or not required, but like there's not an expectation that you get drinks bought for you at your club.
I order fake ones, so they probably.
I do that on stage and I feel terrible. So I either drink the drinks that are sent to me after the show, or I tell the bartender or I tell the club, don't charge them. I don't want you getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, do you tell like men at the club you're single? How do you approach, regardless of what you have going on relationally, what do you say?
Everybody, I'm single.
Uh huh.
Unless you can tell when there's a customer that feels like they're doing something wrong by being in there. Like they usually come with groups and stuff, and they're the guy that's like, I have a great girlfriend at home. And then you're like, oh, I'm married. Well, it's okay. I'm married. Like the listener, the word. And then they're like, okay, like as if I'm like chomping at the bit to date them, but you know, like,
if it weren't for you being married, then clearly I would have cheated on my girlfriend tonight. Yeah, like, okay, and that, oh, is that true? What is the truth? Do you care, or you don't have to say? All right, so I do what I want. That's what I do. Got it. So that's great. Will you follow again, Nikki, on Instagram at She Is Tattooed on Instagram, and you know, hop over to our Patreon and take a peek at what we have going on there. And we won't commit to anything, but if you've listened this long, you probably tell pretty good chemistry, so we might have a co-host in the future here. No commitment to anything. Nobody's committing to nothing. I don't want to put you on the spot. So thank you so much. That was very, very fun and great interview. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.